There's no joke this weekend at the box office. Joker once again rules. We're going to break it all down next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown. This, of course, is a show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we...
Prog. Na-na-na-na.
About the box office that lie ahead, I am the singular Frank Moran, but making me look good and sound even better, and the dulcet tones of Bree in the booth.
Hey, everybody. Thank
yes.
you for having me.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, Bree. Now, Amy and Carrie, they are off on assignment having various shenanigans and adventures, so make sure you're following them on their social media handles to see what they're up to this eve. But you know what, Bree and I said, you know what, the box office never stops. So
I mean, it doesn't.
No.
Whether we're here or not, it's going.
That's right. People are in theaters watching movies, so I felt like it was our duty to still be here to share with you the latest info. Because we love you, let's be honest. Right, Star Drew? That's right. We love you, Star Drew. There you go. So, folks, we're going to be looking at this week's top five. We'll do a little international news. We'll talk about Terminator. We've got Dark Fate coming up, so we're going to do a little ranking of the Terminator films thus far. And then we'll do another box office bet, which, when it's just Brie and myself, leaves very little room for error. So I'm already starting to sweat.
I mean, as you should, Frank.
That's true, because I lose quite often to Brie. She's on a hot, hot streak. So let's just jump into this week's top five. Coming in again at number one was Joker. So look at that. That made another $18.9 million. It was going neck and neck between that and Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. But in the end, the jokes were too strong, and it ended up taking the top of the box
office. Are you surprised that it's been kind of staying up at the top for this long?
I am. I mean, it's... You know, there are some films that I will see that will just kind of gnaw me and I feel like I need to see again. And so I felt compelled to see a few times while they're in the theater. I have not felt this way about Joker, but clearly, whether it's a combination of people that have felt that kind of compulsion to want to go see it again, or it is just more and more people just hearing about this film and for whatever reason deciding to go to see if they like it or if they agree with other things they're reading where it's not that great of a film, but they still want to go see it. So there's still something about this film that makes people want to go check it out for themselves and not just rely on what they're reading or hearing from their friends.
I mean, it also it's Halloween time. You know, there's not too many horror films out this year right now. So maybe because of that, it's kind of taking up that area too.
True. Do you feel any interest in wanting to see this again in the theater?
Not in the theater, probably. I'd probably watch it again when it comes out onto DVD and like kind of try to focus in on some more of the under stuff that maybe I didn't catch the first time around.
I don't know if that's...
I don't know, but like probably not in the theater.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. It's, given the way this is going, I'm going to be very curious when award season rolls around and see what happens with this film.
I mean, I know people are saying that they don't think Joaquin will get a nom, but I think he will. I don't know about the rest of the film, but I think he'll get a nom.
I would, you know, I actually would be surprised as well if he did not get a nom. I mean, I feel like at the very least he's going to get a Golden Globe nom, which, I mean, I know is not a super huge hurdle to go over if you have some film of notoriety, but I feel like he'll get that. I still feel like he'd still get an Oscar nom, though.
I think he deserves an Oscar nom.
Yeah.
Personally.
For whatever you feel about this film, you cannot deny that he gave it his all in this role.
100%.
Yeah. Oof. There's that scene where he's just stretching that shoe and you look at him from the back. Oh, man, just looking so gaunt and just...
Oh, I know. It gave me reminiscence of a few other actors who have done that kind of stuff for roles. And it's just, stuff they put their bodies through.
Oof, yeah. Oof. Now, speaking of Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, that came again at number two, very close to Joker, and just about $400,000 separated them. It made $18.5 million at the box office. Coming in number three, The Addams Family with 11.7. Zombieland Double Tap, 11.6, still holding up pretty strong. And then coming in, our only one of our two films that were coming out new this week at the box office, we had Black and Blue and Countdown. Only Countdown made the top five with $9 million.
Is that we did Countdown, right?
That was our bet.
That was our bet.
That was our box office bet. And there you go. Which does not fill me with any sort of confidence for whatever film we're going to be betting on towards the end of the show. Because to recap our bets from last week, our loser, Carrie Lane, with $21 million. But I can't, I have really no room to brag because I came in third place with $18 million. Amy came in at 17 with second place. And then coming in at number one, clearly saw the writing on the wall for this film, was Brie with the $8.9 million bet.
How much did it end up making, Frank?
$9 million. You were right there.
I just didn't see, because I hadn't heard, I hadn't seen anything about it. I hadn't heard anything about it. And I feel like that's most of the world then, you know?
No, that's true. I mean, I feel like I didn't see anything myself until I went and saw Hustlers. And that was the first time I'd seen a trailer for it. So it didn't really start getting publicized until, a month ago or so? So, yeah. I mean, I feel like whether it's they didn't have too much faith in the film and they're just looking like, we'll just dump this and we'll still make some money off the back end, or they just didn't have the money to, they decided for whatever reason they're not going to spend any money on marketing and advertising.
And Onella J in our chat said that they saw Countdown on Friday, liked it, even though it didn't get good ratings.
I have heard mixed reviews about the film. I gambled, I guess I took cushion with the fact that I was in the kind of the comfort zone, and Carrie was at the extreme, and you were there. So you know what? I can not see this movie, right away. So I've not seen it yet myself.
Well, now you don't have to if you don't want to.
No,
can still go.
I mean, I feel I owe it to the box office breakdown viewers to to go see the best and worst of cinema. More often than not, I'm seeing the worst. But,
what are people saying about it?
It's that it's an interesting idea, but a poor exploration of the ideas. It's because I think the idea is
have a countdown to your death, right?
Correct. You download this app, and it will tell you when you're going to be dying. And if you try to avoid it, you are chased by this creature as well as ghosts from your past, and then it'll eventually lead you to your demise. So
that makes me think of—is it called Timer? But that it's different because that one leads you to, you can download it and leads you to the exact moment you're going to meet your soulmate.
Oh, intriguing.
But then the problem with that is if you know exactly when you're going to meet your soulmate, then you say no to other people. Or what if you download it and it's like 58 years? Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to be by myself for 58 years?
Oh. from that period though, so that might be like 70 years for you actually.
Oh, that's true. Oof. But I actually wouldn't give you that freedom if you knew all right, I'm not going to meet my soulmate for 58 years. I can just go have fun now, and I don't have to worry.
I guess.
Serious.
Or it could just be really depressing.
Would it be depressing if you? Well,
that's kind of what the film deals with. Is because you might know, okay, I still have this much more time, but and then also until your soulmate is born, it doesn't start. So you could if you're older than what your soulmate's going to be, and they're not born yet, or they haven't gotten the app themselves yet too. That's another thing. Mm. If they don't have the app, you don't know. It'll just stay at zero.
So Dennis Quaid, he had to wait quite a while before he even realized. I mean, he's marrying somebody that's almost 40 years younger than him.
Touche, Frank.
Yeah, there you go. Touché. That's poor Dennis. He was there for, quite a while. Very lonely. Very lonely. Oh, poor guy. But now he's happy. He's found his soulmate.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yes, so that... Brie, once again, the reigning champion of the box office bet. She, more often
I
than
was
not,
super nervous too, because you guys all went higher, and I was like, oh, I might be wrong on this one.
No, you were very, very, very right on this. So much so that I'm very horribly scared because it's only me against you this week. And, speaking of the box office bet, folks, we've got basically just a couple films here for your contention. We've got Terminator Dark Fate, of course, look excited. We've got Motherless Brooklyn, the new Ed Norton, Bruce Willis film. The animated film Arctic Dogs. And then we have Harriet as well, a story about Harriet Tubman. So those are the four films that are going to be vying for your vote there in the chat. You know, and speaking of that, folks, if you want to kind of get involved in all this, there's several ways you can do so. You can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and then, of course, the chat is up and running. So feel free to hop in the chat, and even after we've streamed live and you're watching later, you can still comment down below about anything that we're talking about. So, yeah, get involved and start voting in the chat, and we'll do our box office bet on the one that you have all chosen in the chat in just a little while. But in the meantime, we've got some hot international numbers because, you know, films don't just come here, Brie. They go around the world.
Of course they do.
Yes. So.
And not all at the same time.
No, not at all. Sometimes it can be a staggered release. It can be months before a film is seen in another part of the world. So, of course, this was a busy weekend at the international box office. Disney's Maleficent Mistress of Evil saw a 43% drop to give it about $64.3 million this week in 100% of its offshore markets there. Joker got 47.8. That's just 38% off its previous weekend. So, again, it's not just domestically that this film is still retaining viewership. It is happening worldwide. So right now it's on target to become the number 3 biggest DC movie ever overseas with $571.5 million to date and $849.1 million globally. Where it is also the top grossing R-rated movie ever and the first one to cross the 8th century mark. So there was even a big post from Ryan Reynolds this week giving a tip of the hat to Joker besting Deadpool as the number 1 superhero R-rated film. Now, of course, Dark Fate, Terminator Dark Fate, it got $12.8 million in early debuts internationally. Those include France, Germany, and the UK, along with a few other select markets there. It's being released, even though domestically by Paramount and Skydance, but being released internationally by Disney. So they're going to get a little bit of the action there, too. So basically, the early results on this film, though, is it's lower than might have been hoped, but there are still holidays coming up in the key markets that this film is being released in internationally. So the hope is that it'll have a little bit of legs. But, of course, Joker obviously is the wild card in all of this because it is still holding on to audiences much longer than I think many people anticipated. I know Warner Brothers is extremely happy with the results there. So given how well this has done, I am going to be very curious to see what Warner Brothers' strategy is going to be going forward with some of these films. There's already been talks about a Lex Luthor film.
Yeah, someone in our Sky Pirates in our chat just said, according to NME, WBDC is considering developing an R-rated comic book film centered around Lex Luthor becoming president and Lois Lane as the first lady.
See, I don't know, for me, and that's probably part of my problem with Joker, and I think it would definitely probably be a problem for me for the Lex Luthor film, is that I don't know if I'm really buying into taking these characters and spinning them off into their own films without really any connections to the greater DC universe. So to have Joker in a film where Batman doesn't exist, for me personally, doesn't excite me much. I don't really get much from just seeing Joker being created and doing what he does without having some opposite number to be able to try to go toe-to-toe with him. Same thing for Lex Luthor. I don't know if I really want to see a film where I see Lex Luthor become president and there's no connection and anything, like Superman does not exist. Do I want to see a film like that? I don't think so. But I could see why, given the success of Joker, Warner Brothers would be very interested in taking some of these prominent, more villain-type characters that they have in their vast library and trying to make them the focal point of a film.
Speaking of R-rated films doing well, such as Joker, because Joker, I don't know if you saw, but also beat out Deadpool for R-rated comic book film.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Reynolds did have something to say about that. He posted this, I have it up on the screen right now, to Joker. This was his congratulations for beating us out. And he lists down below, and Hugh Jackman, of course, is just Hugh Jackman, not Wolverine. Yeah, so that was his way of saying congratulations,
that.
Joker, for beating us out.
That's right. Oh, man. This film, I'm going to be really curious to see what Warner Brothers decides to do with this, because this film has made so much money and it still looks like it's going to be going strong for quite a while longer, especially if it gets any sort of nomination for Joaquin Phoenix. Do you just stop there? I mean, do you find some other way to tell another story with Joaquin Phoenix?
I mean, I feel like they shouldn't. I don't know if they will, but I would rather them not. It's very much the Wicked complex where, you know, that's what Maleficent did, really. They kind of were taking off of what Wicked did for Broadway with the Wicked Witch of the West. And now they tried to do with Maleficent. You tried to give her some sort of feel bad for her kind of thing. And that's what they were somewhat doing with Joker. You know, I know that they weren't 100% making me feel bad, at least for him completely. Like, there was parts, but I wasn't at the end being like, he's justified in what he's doing. And I think Wicked worked really well because it was like one of the first ones that did it. And then I think the more we do it, unless we do it in different ways, it's just going to not... Like, for me, Maleficent didn't stand up. I know other people like love Maleficent. I didn't for... I don't think every bad guy deserves a redemption story.
Yeah. Like,
and I think that they gave him this redemption story, and then if they keep trying to go with it, it's not going to be good.
I completely agree with that. I feel like it's hard for a studio in this day and age when they see something that's been successful to step back and say, you know what, that story is done. We can... Let's try something else and see if we can achieve that same success. I feel like it's hard for studio to do that these days. I feel like it's the temptation to go back to something that is already proved popular at the audience and go like, what can we do to give them more of this particular thing again?
And sometimes it just ruins the film. Like Pirates, they kept making more and more and they're still making more. And like, it's just gone so downhill as far as quality.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, especially that last Pirates film was so disappointing to watch.
And there's another one coming.
Oh, great. Great. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's like Jungle Cruise. I am fine. I'm fine with the, you know, we've got, you know, The Rock doing that. Or Dwayne Johnson doing that. I'm cool with that. There you go. But I don't know if I really want to see multiple Jungle Cruise films. If this film does well, I'm good with just it being one.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get too lost in the money making and stop focusing on the quality of filmmaking.
Yeah, it's tough to stuff to try to show that restraint. So I'll be curious. But then it's like once you get past Lex Luthor, who's such an iconic villain that I guess that could possibly just stand alone without having a need, as much as I think they would, of having a superhero attached to it. Once you get past Joker and when you get past Lex Luthor, I don't know if DC has another really iconic villain.
Also, didn't we already have a Lex Luthor kind of thing because of, what's it called, the show?
I mean, we had Smallville.
Smallville, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, Michael Rosenbaum was great in that role. We had Jesse Eisenberg, who a lot of people were hit and miss with him about his performance in Batman v Superman, as well as, the Justice League film. Although he just pops in at the tail end for his little, hey, we should do our own Injustice League. And no one ever will see that film, ever. So we don't have to worry about that. and he shaved. Well, I don't know if he really shaved his head. Who knows if he shaved his head? Stuff to say.
I don't know. I thought Bryan Cranston really shaved his head, and apparently yes. He didn't. So
as soon as I saw that, where it's like, oh, it was just a really nicely done bald cap on there, it blew my mind. I was like, oh, geez, I really thought he shaved his head. Oh, goes to show what I know. Hollywood, it's all a bunch of lies, folks. Bunch of just the tricks, smoke and mirrors. So also, Adam's Family, getting back to our international numbers here, it's $10 million from 18 universal markets there. So now it is $11.2 million to date internationally. For globally, it has got $83.8 million. Don't know if it's going to lead itself to a sequel. I think the film is fine. I don't know if there's another story to be told with that. And then, of course, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil there. The overseas weekend was 64.3 with an offshore total of $228 million and a global tally of $293.5 million to date. I'm absolutely fine with this being the last Maleficent film. I don't think we need to see a third one.
Yeah. And actually, I'm looking it up. It looks like the Pirates of the Caribbean one, it's a reboot.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So it's not necessarily a continuation, but still.
I mean, I am fine with that. I mean, and it'll be curious to see, do you do another Captain Jack Sparrow? Or do you come up with some... Which I think it would be too tough for any... To reboot that character. I think you may... Why not just get some new character to bring in? Because I feel like
it's such a him performance.
Yeah. I don't know who else I'd want to see in that role today. Nobody's popping to the top of my mind.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone.
But folks, if you think you know somebody, if you were doing a recast of Captain Jack Sparrow right now, who from today's current crop of younger Hollywood would you cast in the role of Captain Jack Sparrow? Justin Bieber. That's not a good call, guys. Come on, what am I thinking? So, folks, usually we do a little box office rewind about one of the stars that's going to be in an upcoming film coming out this weekend. But Terminator is such a, unusual franchise that I felt like it's time for us to kind of talk a little bit about the Terminator franchise, because there's been 5 films in this. We've got Terminator 1, 2, and 3. Then we have Terminator Salvation and Terminator Genesis. And your mileage may vary in terms of what films you consider great in this storied franchise and which films you feel are very disposable in this. And to add to that now, we're getting Terminator Dark Fate put back into this, which, much like Halloween that just came out last year from Blumhouse, is now being considered the proper sequel to the original film. So this Terminator Dark Fate is now being considered the true sequel to T2. So every other film, we can just wipe that away, and this is what what you're meant to be seeing after you see T2. So, Brie, I know you are a huge Terminator fan. You're always quoting Arnold Schwarzenegger lines throughout the anytime I see you. You're always.
I mean, that's my MO every time, Frank. Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on it. Some of them are really, you would barely get it.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's like, was that? Was
no,
that
I've actually only seen the first two.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then you're all set. You don't need to see the other ones.
I didn't actually need to see the other ones.
Yeah.
But they're not worth going to see. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what I was told.
There's much debate about if you were to kind of rank these, which would you consider a better film, Terminator or T2? And I think there's valid reasons for anybody choosing one over the other for this, because you've got Terminator, which was just such a lean, mean script. Efficiently directed, it's just really tight, and it's more of a horror take on this whole aspect there. It's a great kind of horror sci-fi slasher kind of fic, very cool. And then you get T2, where this is what I kind of segues back to what we're talking about, like with Joker or something like that. If you were to do a sequel, what I liked with James Cameron, and he's done this both with Terminator as well as Aliens, is that he gives you a different take on what you're expecting. So Aliens, the original Alien, directed by Ridley Scott, very much sort of a horror film, a lot of tension and suspense in that film. Then he goes to the opposite side and he has, what if I bring in the whole Marine Corps into this as well too? And it gets more of an action adventure bent into this kind of horror genre. Very cool. Some people think that could be a superior film to Aliens. I don't know. Or to Alien. Who knows? But same thing with T2, where instead of kind of doing what he did with Terminator, he now goes back and kind of revises it and adds more of an action-adventure element into that sort of story as well, and knocks it out of the ballpark with the special effects, which that really set the benchmark for what everybody is striving to do. I feel like that film, not until maybe, I would say Matrix, that you really saw something that really, kick-started it up at the next level into what you could achieve in a film through special effects. So for 6-7 years, I mean, that Terminator 2 really set the benchmark for what could be achieved through special effects in an action film. So, the story, once you get into time travel, it always can get a little convoluted. But overall, I mean, it's tough. I definitely want to go back and watch these first two films again before I see Terminator Dark Fate. Brie, as having seen only the first two films, do you like one over the other?
I thought both were good. I think I was a little more partial towards the first one, mainly because there was times where the kid annoyed me in the second one.
True. Yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, I guess.
But I think they're both pretty. They're pretty even. Like if I prefer one or the other, it's by a small margin.
Yeah, It is interesting where it's also now you see the turn where the villain that you were worried about in the first film, Terminator, now becomes the hero you're rooting for in T2 when he's there to actually save it. And I feel like that is one of the great reveals when you're seeing that whole sequence cut together the first time they're going after John Connor in the mall. and you see the T-800, Arnold Schwarzenegger, showing up, you're expecting him to be the bad guy because that's what you're expecting. And when it turns around that he's actually the good guy, what the scene is constructed so well that it's just a nice revelation in that film. And tough to do once you've done that reveal once. Like all these subsequent films, you already know what you're getting with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're like, oh yeah, he's just going to be a good Terminator this time. There's no that thrill of having that twist is forever diminished, which is a shame because it was so nicely done in that story. But folks, if you were to kind of even though according to everybody else, Terminator Genesis, Terminator Salvation, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, none of them still exist. We're going to include those into our rankings here of the best Terminator films. And, you know, I'll go Terminator 2. Even though there's something great about the lean meanness of Terminator, I got to admit, in my heart, I am an action-adventure lover. And when I can see something on screen that I've never seen before, blow me away. That feeling that I see when I first see the T-1000 show up is just, and what James Cameron does with that character throughout the course of the film, things I'd never seen before, just blew me away. So for that, I'm always going to have a soft spot for that film. So I'm going to put that one first, then I'm going to put Terminator. Still, it's a very, very small gap in between 1 and 2. Then I'm going to jump down to actually Terminator Genesis, which was the latest Terminator film to be released. It's not a great film, and a lot of stuff is frustrating, especially everything with the Matt Smith character. I don't know what's going on with that. But it does play a little bit more with the time travel nature of this franchise, which I always have a soft spot for time travel stuff. So because of that, I will go Terminator Genesis there for that. Then I'll go, I guess I'd have to go Terminator Salvation, which was McGee's directorial introduction to that franchise. Takes place more in the future that we're always teased about here. And we get to see what happens there with Christian Bale playing John Connor as an adult, which we'd always been kind of teased about, but never really got to see much of anything from an adult John Connor's point of view. The film is okay. I mean, I feel like the only time I get really excited is the moment where they bring back the old T-800 with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They get him, they de-age him and put him on a body double for that sequence there. But that's like the most exciting part when you get to see him come back into the film. You're like, yes, it doesn't last very long. There's an explosion that ends up blowing away the skin around the exoskeleton there. So that's gone. But for that brief moment, when you get to see young Arnold Schwarzenegger come out, you're like, oh, that's cool. So for that, I'll put that in number 4. And then Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. That's a dull film. It's a shame that is what happened with that movie. And just, yeah, not a very fun film. So for me, that's going to be my 5th. Bree, I know you're excited to go watch these other 3 before Terminator Dark Fate, I'm sure. You're going to make time.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to skip work.
Yes.
Power through.
That's right. You know,
I don't feel like, from what people are saying, though, that if I don't see them, that I'll have anything that I'm lost on in this new one if I see the new one without seeing those other 3.
No, I think it's one of those things that there might be some small Easter eggs or nods towards those other 3 films that if you'd seen them, you're like, okay, you get a little bit. But if you haven't, it's not going to ruin your enjoyment of this film. The thing I am questioning, though, this is the first time that James Cameron is coming back to be actively involved in the production of the film. And for the last film, Terminator Genesis, he did go around speaking highly of the film. And the film wasn't great. So now he's back saying, again, this is the true sequel to this film, to T2. This is what it was really supposed to come next. This is it. I'm actually involved in this. And there's part of me that's feeling a little bit burned by James Cameron. Because if he was willing to go out for Terminator Genesis and really kind of hype that up, and it wasn't a great film, should I buy into what he's saying this time? I don't know. I mean, it's a question. I'm still going to go see the film, but I can't go in there and absolutely feel like, oh yeah, this is it. This is going to knock it out of the ballpark.
I mean, if because you mentioned Halloween, mm-hmm. So if that's any kind of marker of what we can expect from something like this, where they're bringing people back, I don't think Halloween was necessarily a great film. You had the Easter eggs, you had the nostalgia, but it didn't really do anything for the franchise or make me feel any better about where we're at now.
Yeah, I mean, there's part of me that enjoyed it just for the fact that it was just kind of, it separated Michael Myers from, even though there's parts of it that I did like when they get into like the Thorn mythology and all this extraneous stuff that happened over the course of 4, 5, and 6 of the original Halloween films. Stripping it back down to just, you know, Michael Myers is just a shape. He's not related to Laurie Strode anymore. He just happened to pick her out by random and that was it. I kind of like them dialing it back to that and kind of getting rid of the whole, they're really brother and sister. I thought that was, that got a little bit, the mileage may vary in how much you enjoy that. I kind of got a little burned out by that. And of course, the original Halloween film. So I like that it dialed it back to that, but there were a lot of conveniences that the plot sets up to make everybody be able to be in the same places at the same time for things to happen.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I see what you're saying with those things, but yeah, I don't know, and I could be wrong. Like, I don't know if that did anything for the franchise as a whole completely. Like,
it's tough because I guess I'm gonna have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They're doing 2 more films, shooting them pretty much back to back. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and wait to see what, now that they're saying that this is a true trilogy, and see where it ends on this. But there's part of me that felt like, you know, I would have been fine if it had just been a definitive ending on this one for the Halloween. Because when they give you that one shot from the low angle in the house that's burning down, Laurie Strode's house is burning down. You've seen that they've trapped Michael Myers in it and the house is going up in flames. They get out, but then it cuts back to the basement from a low angle shot and you see Michael Myers is no longer in the basement. I feel like, why was that?
And then you get the, in the credits, they have the thing that basically let you know he's still alive.
Yeah. Like, oh, great. There's something about being definitive in a film. Just like, yes, let's just pick a sticking point. And, all right, I'm going to give, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and let's see what they do for these next 2 films.
Do you think Terminator will jump to number 1 and bump Joker out? Getting into our...
Yes, next week's top 5.
Next week's top 5.
I'm going to go Terminator Dark Fate. I'm going to believe that it can do it. I think there's, regardless, whether you love it or not, I think there's still going to be enough of a curiosity factor to like, all right, I've been burned before, but I guess I'll go check this out. So I think it can take number 1. The other films, though, coming out that week, I don't see any of them really doing that hot at the box office. The good old Ed Norton's film, with the good old Brooklyn. No. And I have not seen anything about Harriet. I have not seen any publicity about Harriet at all.
I've seen like 1 thing about Harriet. But I do know someone in the chat asked if we thought that it was going to make some money because of... 1 second, it's right here. Do we think Joe Alwyn will draw people to Harriet because he's Taylor Swift's boyfriend?
No. I mean, it's not drawing me in. I guess there's those Swifties that want to just
be
part of it.
Are you a big Taylor Swift fan, Frank?
Nah, not really. I'm not a Swiftie.
Then I don't know if that would be you'd be the draw for that then.
No. I mean, well, I guess the big thing is we need to find Renee Ariel and ask her, are you going to be seeing this film?
I do think maybe there are people that will just because of that, but I don't think it'll be enough to be a huge thing.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to reach out to Renee. And if she says yes, I'm going to see this solely because Taylor Swift's boyfriend's in this film, I will change my opinion. And say, all right, I guess a lot of people are going to see this movie. But for right now, I don't think that's enough of a draw. Like, got to go see a film about, especially because it's a film about Harriet Tubman. It'd be one thing if it was like a cool action adventure movie, which is kind of where it kind of touched all 4 corners of audiences. But this is a very kind of specific kind of film about a historical figure, which I don't know is going to have broad box office appeal.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about it, but I don't. I'm a more history person. Ken Jack has his top 5 as Terminator Dark Fate is 1, Joker 2, 3 Maleficent, 4 Harriet, 5 Arctic Dogs.
Interesting. Arctic Dogs. I can see, I'm going to say Arctic Dogs doesn't make it. I'm going to put Zombieland back up in there. So I feel like Double Tap, I think it's going to hold a little bit better because Arctic Dogs looks terrible. Ugh. All right.
Well, I think that it was tied for the potential what we're voting on, so we'll have to wait for Ken Jack to tell us.
All right, lay it on us, Ken Jack. I'm a little nervous to see what this is because there are some interesting films coming out this week. Some I'm excited about, others not so much. So let's hope this doesn't fall into one of these that I'm not that excited about.
Also, Anthony Fortuna let us know that the breathing at the in the credits, that was the key to knowing that Michael Myers was alive.
Thank goodness. Oh, that 62-year-old man getting out of that burning building. Michael, are you here?
Arctic Dogs won the bet.
Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, gosh. Oh.
Your favorite, Frank.
Oh, this.
I feel like they did it because they knew you didn't want to see this.
Man, this film looks...
Like, you guys correct me in the chat if I'm wrong, but did you guys vote for Arctic Dogs just so Frank would have to maybe go see it?
Great. Thanks, guys. You are the best. Oh, man. Okay. Arctic Dogs. Oh, this has got Jeremy Renner doing one of the voices, as well as John Cleese, Heidi Klum, James Franco, Alec Baldwin, Angelica Houston. Oh, boy. This does not look great.
He's got a good cast.
Yeah, but man, it just... it just looks so bad. The poster looks awful. The fact that I have not seen a trailer about it just doesn't hold much promise to me.
Yeah, I don't know if I know anything about this.
Oh, man. Okay. This is Arctic Dogs. Oh, all right. So, folks, we're going to do our box office bet. If you've never seen the show before, what we do is we vote on the film that you in the chat room have chosen out of the films that are coming out next weekend. You've chosen Arctic Dogs. Shame on you. But you've chosen it. So we will bet on what we think the opening box office total will be. The winner, much like Bree is most of the time, will bask in the glory of being the prognosticator or prognosticators. The loser, which more often than not ends up being me, will have to go see this film and tell you all about it. Oh, baby. All right. Arctic Dogs. You know, I mistyped this as Attic Dogs, and I'm already more interested in that film than Arctic Dogs. So, oh, boy. I feel like Bree right now is researching what the projections are for Arctic Dogs.
I can't. As you can see, Frank, the computer screen is full screened to a picture of Arctic Dogs.
Oh, great.
So I don't have access to
that. Thank you. Oh, great. Good. Because I have not done so either. I was like, oh, she's already going to have a better ballpark figure for this film. Good. All right. I feel like we're on even playing ground. All right. I'm going to type in a number here. Oh, man. This looks... I'm genuinely scared, Brie. But she likes to do. Okay, I'm gonna go.
You ready, Frank?
Yeah. All right.
It doesn't sound like you're.
Nope. I'm gonna stick with. I was gonna change. I'm gonna stick with my initial impulse, for better or worse. All right, Brie. What do you have?
I think for this one, I'm gonna go a little lower because the other two films. You know, we do have Terminator coming out, and I think, you know, there is the kid factor, but it's also Halloween weekend. So I don't know if this like, is a movie that screams that this is what I want to see on Halloween weekend. So I'm going to give it maybe, let's do 10 mil. Let's do 10.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Did you go lower?
No, because I went 10.
Oh my God.
I went 10.
We're tied.
Ah, that was my. I was waiting for them. Do I go 11?
I'm so happy I didn't say 10.3 or something like that.
Oh, yes. All right. So I feel like, boy, we either
rise or sink. You know what? And I think Amy and Carrie both would do like 20-30 for this one.
Yeah, guys. I really think I agree with you. So, you know, you're right, Bree. That's, I feel like that's what the chat would have said. So, yeah, we'll put them down for, we'll put Bree down, or put Amy down for 20 and Carrie down for 30 million. I feel like that's only fair. I almost changed it to 11 and I'm glad I did not. All right. So that is our bets. They're locked and loaded for hot.
People in the chat seem to be more or less agreeing with us. Star Drew bets, 11 or 9 mil. JLS Comics says 8 mil. And then Star Drew, could get 10 mil. Arctic Dogs 5 mil from M. Ray Guns. And Neil Hutchinson said 12 mil. So people aren't having a lot of faith in this film. So I think we went the right way, Frank.
Good. Ah, yes. All right. You know, that's what I like, Brie. When there's no winners or losers, we can just enjoy the box office spectacle that happens. And, you know, Carrie will put her down for officially for 30 million because she likes to go high. And Amy, 20 million. And we'll let one of those two fine folks see this film. I feel like that's like the least we could do since they decided they'd rather do something else than be here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Neil Hutchinson said this. It seems fair.
That's right. I agree, guys. We've all agreed on it. So if they gripe next week, we can tell them no. All of us in unison decided this is the right thing to do. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. As always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And if you're watching this after we stream live, feel free to comment down below. Let us know your rankings there of the Terminator films. Do you agree with mine? Do you have a different take on that? Which one do you like better, Terminator 1 or T2? Let us know. But if you want to stay in touch with us even after the show's over, Bree, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Bree, B-R-I underscore Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. That's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll be back next Sunday night right here on Popcorn Talk.
Go see some movies.
Yeah, go see them. I was crying.
Entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.